Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'm so glad you were able to join me. In the last few days, we've been sharing on the subject of meekness. I shared the definition by Webster, which means to endure injury with patience and without resentment. It means submissive, not violent or strong or mild. And we spent a fair amount of time on yesterday's broadcast trying to grasp the fact that meekness does not mean weakness. So often we seem to think it suggests a lack of authority. But we can dispel that understanding because Jesus, by His own confession, declared that He was meek. He said that about Himself, and He was not certainly weak, and He demonstrated great strength and righteous anger against the money changers in the temple. He spent time and crafted a whip with His own hands, which He used to overturn all the tables and drive them from His house, which He said should be called the God's house, is a house of prayer. And so hopefully, and if you ever miss a broadcast, feel free to go to www.unveilchrist.org and click on the broadcast. They're archived there, and so you can always hear any one that you've missed, or if you wanted to rehear one, they're there for you at your convenience. So we established that meekness does not mean weakness, and of course, we understand that Jesus is a perfect example of being meek. He's an example of kingship. He's an example of rulership. It says in Revelation, He's King of kings and Lord of lords, but He was perfectly meek. He was the embodiment of meekness. In Matthew 11:29, He expressly declares of Himself, "I am meek and lowly in heart." And our precious Savior calls to those who are heavy laden and those who are laboring to come to Him and find sweet rest. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Matthew 21:5, Jesus Himself says, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey." So here we have juxtaposed meekness and the glory of the King of Kings. If Jesus has that word describing an aspect of His personality, that's something we should really want for ourselves. And of course, we know it is listed in Galatians as one of the specific fruit of the Spirit. Again and again, we discover that ruling in God's kingdom must be and only can be done with the spirit of Him who has become a servant. Remember, Jesus Himself said, "The servant isn't greater than his master." And Jesus said that He came not to be served, but to serve. And so, as we can see, Jesus is our perfect example, but we can look in the other examples in the Word of God. For example, Moses, his life was a study in meekness. We cannot dispute that Moses was one of the greatest men who ever lived and led. Yet, he had to learn meekness. Under this man's leadership, he had an amazing ministry. God led his people out from Egyptian bondage. It's recorded in the opening pages of God's Word. But he was not always so meek. He did try to do things his own way, and God couldn't use him. Remember, he went to see his brethren, the Israelites. He realized he was of Israelite descent, and when he saw an Egyptian being violent to one of the people, he actually killed the Egyptian and buried him. And of course, when it was discovered, he fled from the face of Pharaoh, and he spent many years in the desert. And it was there that Moses was molded by God into a meek man who led well over 1 million people from the land of oppression out of Egyptian bondage. And in Numbers, the 12th chapter, verse 3, Moses is called very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. That's how the Lord describes him. And so, beloved, meekness will lead to leadership if that's God's plan. So we see that also, looking again throughout the Word of God on this subject, that meekness or submission is a quality that God treasures. Let me read for you from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 5. And this is addressed to wives and women. And he's saying, don't let your adorning be just an outward expression of your hair or wearing of jewelry or clothes. But in verse 4, he says, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. And here, Peter's describing an ideal Christian woman. Here, the adorning of God's woman is the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which has great price in God's sight. Now, the world teaches that a woman has to fight for equal rights. Isn't that right? We hear a lot about that today and have historically over the last century. But God's woman is to be meek so that she will gain the power that is waiting for her. That power of meekness is so great that it actually will cause a non-Christian husband to be won to God, as the context of 1 Peter, that third chapter, shares that they can, in verse 1, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any not obey the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So this is an example not only to husbands, but to the whole world. Jesus was meek and lowly, and because in Christ there's no male or female, we know that God will treasure a meek and a quiet spirit in either gender of his children. Doesn't matter if you're man or woman. It is something he prizes and treasures. And so what I'd like to do now is devote some time to why meekness should be so important in our Christian walk. Why is it one of the fruit of the Spirit? And I'd like to share with you four specific areas or dimensions, if you will, in our Christian walk where meekness is needed. And in fact, it's impossible to carry on these activities without meekness. Let me share the first one, and that is restoration in the body of Christ. Is that something that is needed today? My goodness, over the decades, we've seen leaders in Christ fall, and we all know, I'm sure, situations in churches, even brothers or sisters that we may know, they fall. And what does the word say? When a brother or sister falls, those who are spiritual, in other words, who are mature in Christ, they have the fruit of the Spirit, not just the Word of God in their heart, which they've shown by studying to show themselves approved, but by having the Spirit, because brother and sister, the letter will kill, but the Spirit gives life. And those who are spiritual should be involved in restoration. Galatians 6 and 1 specifically says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Beloved, he that thinks that he stand, let him take heed, lest he fall. We always have to have humility and meekness of heart as Jesus, because anytime we think we're going along just fine and we've finally gotten it all together, but that's the first time we're going to be stumbling. Amen. We need to have a spirit of meekness. And the only Christians who really can help a fallen brother or sister are those who have the fruit of the Spirit, especially meekness. Meekness gives power to help. Because we know that all we have to do is think of the times that we've fallen. Think of the times that the prayers of others have brought us through. Think of the times that we have failed God in spite of our confession and profession or even our vows to the Lord. Think of the times that we have had sin in our lives, the times we've been impatient, the times we've been had unrighteous anger, the times we've put our own comfort, our own self-seeking before the cause of others. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And beloved, a mature son and daughter of God knows that. Now, so it's important for restoration in the body of Christ. And secondly, meekness gives power to give instruction. We're able to teach if we have that spirit, because, you know, it's not only what we say, it's how we say it. Meekness gives power to instruct those who oppose themselves. That's kind of a curious word, but there's actually a reference in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 25, that says, I'm going to read 25 and 6, in meekness, well, let me read 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so it's interesting to note that when a person opposes God, he also opposes himself or cuts himself off from good. And beloved, it's a meek person that is able to instruct a person in this frame of mind. So those are a couple things. We need it for restoration in the body of Christ. We need it to be able to instruct others. And on Well, I guess we're going to have to wait till our next broadcast, and we're going to learn those couple other areas that meekness is needed. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a blessing to share the word of the Lord with you. I pray that you're encouraged and strengthened in your walk in God. The announcer will give you our contact information. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.